reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join in the dialogue and discussion each and every day right here on Let's Face the Issues. Lest I get involved, and I usually do, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. After a brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines, invite you to call in, join in this important dialogue and discussion today. We're talking about an issue that should be heard, should be recognized for what it is. There's a hue and cry, a hair on fire, panic with the Marxist media and the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party because Donald Trump, the President of the United States, a politician, a government worker, will be reading the Bible publicly for the world to hear. Yep, we're having the reading through Genesis through Revelation publicly being read during the course of this week. And this afternoon, I understand, Eastern Standard Time, President Donald J. Trump will be reading 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 11 through 14. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. And as we look at the Scripture, we look at what is said in Old Testament and New Testament in relationship to political leaders, governmental leaders, what God calls civil government, we find nothing in no THING wrong with a person in the position of governmental leadership reading the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, advocating for the Word of God, giving strength and encouragement to the people through the Word of God. We'll be talking about that today, and also we'll be taking a little sneak peek at what is happening with the FBI office investigating the 2020 election. Well, many people have thought, well, that's a dead issue. No, it's not. It's still alive. It's been alive since 2020. We've said, many of us, conservatives have said, many Republicans have said, many Christians have said that we believe the election was stolen. Wow, guess what? It's being discovered that the election was stolen. In fact, Cash Patel has just announced he's ready to prosecute some people. Several of the states, including Georgia, ladies and gentlemen, involved in the theft of the 2020 election. And that's exactly what it's now being called by the DOJ, the FBI, those that have investigated it, those that have examined the ballots, thousands and thousands out of Georgia and other states, and find that the election was, in fact, stolen. So what we're saying today as we think about it, we're saying allow the Christian voice to be heard in America. Allow the Christian voice to be heard in America. Now, I'm not concerned about the president reading from the Bible. I'm not afraid that some Hindu is going to get upset. I'm not fearful that a communist might get upset. I'm not fearful that a Islamic jihadist may be bothered. Our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian values. Our nation was founded on the Word of God. Our Declaration of Independence, our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and all of the what we call our founding documents were given to us by men that wrote them, that depended on the Word of God for inspiration and direction for reading and for writing what we have today called our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, today will be election day in the state of Virginia, for example. And in the state of Virginia, we have a vote that will be taken to either destroy the opportunity for free vote in Virginia or to set it straight so that freedom will prevail with all, how would you say, stripes of electoral votes that will go into place where the people will have a choice. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, the truth book. The truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 8:31-32. John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement made about the Word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." And ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. How long is forever? It's forever, without end. However, ladies and gentlemen, in the dystopian novel entitled 1984, published in the late 40s, 47, 48, 49, a secularist named George Orwell made a profound statement. I will quote his statement. "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And that's precisely where we are today in society. We have those that, if you please, that screaming with the hair on fire that there's something wrong with our nation, that President Trump is leading us into war, President Trump's going to destroy our Constitution, President Trump is against democracy, President Trump, it's a TDS. Trump derangement syndrome that is so powerful today that it blinds the eyes of those that are not recognizing that we're in a spiritual battle in our nation. It's a battle for good versus evil. It's a battle today, ladies and gentlemen, to salvage our nation, to preserve America and the rights that we now have in our nation. But truth is not prevailing. Truth should prevail. In fact, it was John Huss, even when he was being burned at the stake, John Huss screamed, "Truth shall prevail." It's not prevailing as a whole, but as we'll get to in the course of this broadcast, truth is coming out in relationship to the question, did Joe Biden really win the 2020 election by 81 million votes? Not on your life. We've all known it. Some have known it secretly. And yet we have the Marxist media, anytime that question comes up, they're saying, well, you know, Trump and his acolytes filed suits in the court. And in fact, ladies and gentlemen, I believe some 73 cases. Not one, hear me, not one case that was filed challenging the 2020 election found its way to a judge's bench. The judges simply, in each and every case, out of hand, cast it aside and told the petitioner, you do not have standing at this time for this case. So a case was never heard. There was never a trial on facts, on details, on evidence in relationship to the 2020 election. So truth did not prevail, but truth shall prevail, in my opinion. Just as, and it comes to mind, just as what is happening today with the COVID factor, the COVID injections, the death, some 9 million as a result of the COVID injections that's still destroying lives. And right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's been uncovered as the onion is being peeled. showing more and more how we were lied to in America. We were deceived by Sir Anthony Fauci. We were told that the vaccination was effective and beneficial and was not harm, but yet it has murdered people and still murdering people today as a result of it. So the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, truth shall prevail, as John Huss said. The former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our churches. Yet most younger Americans, according to a survey of about a year ago, said that there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, made a profound statement. Their position is that, quote, each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth, and everything else is a perversion of truth. You can't bifurcate truth and get a truth. Half truth is a whole lie. I go back to, as my default standing, if you will, to a 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said this: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge today. That's my challenge each and every day. We need to stand for truth. First of all, seek it, learn it, love it, live it, and stand for it and defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time has the full line of equipment for the homeowner like Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for a Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how did I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flies Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24-7. Find that flag at the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm posing an issue today. Allow the voice, Christian voices, to be heard in America. Right at this very moment, a run for the stake in the state of Virginia. There's a vote today. And by the way, Spamberger, a socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat that just went into office, she has a goal of undoing, if I can use that term, changing everything that Youngkin had done for 8 years that was good. She's unwinding it rapidly. And listen, I've never heard of this in my life. And I pray that somebody will get a fast track to the Supreme Court and cancel it before the election in November. But Spamberger and her group have been working on the basis of changing the Virginia Constitution temporarily. And changing in the Constitution would allow them, before census in 2030, to radically change, where it will be about 10-1 against the Republican Party in the state of Virginia. They're voting, the voters will vote today in Virginia to temporarily change the Constitution. I've never heard of that in my life. Temporarily change the Constitution to allow Spamberger and her Marxist communist views to be, how would you say, imposed upon the people on a temporary basis, and then switch the Constitution back before the 2030 census so they will meet the letter of the law. Now, if you think that's honorable, then something's wrong. But it's being done to redistrict on the basis that it will cut many Republican legislators out of office and make it a 10-to-1 against the Republicans in the state of Virginia. I use that as an illustration today to point out the fact that if that is done, Christian voices, that doesn't mean that every Republican is a Christian. But the conservative voice, the Christian conservative Republican voice, will be shut out, shut down, and destroyed in the state of Virginia. And if the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats were to have their way, that's exactly what they'd like to see done in America, in every state. Ladies and gentlemen, and then while this is taking place, and some primaries are taking place in several other places in America, but while this is taking place this week, on public radio and television and streaming, will be the reading of the Word of God, the Bible, from Genesis through Revelation. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the Word of God that's going to be publicly read. And somehow, some way, there's a mindset that ought not to be done, that something is wrong with that. Now I'm looking at an article. It says Mike Johnson said America's greatness began with one core belief, that our rights come from God, not government. Speaking at the launch of America Reads the Bible in Washington, D.C., he called the week-long reading of Scripture a national rededication and said it is a chance to defend and restore the foundations of this country. Johnson also shared a deeply personal testimony about his father surviving a devastating explosion after doctors gave little hope. He said he fell on his knees before the Lord and prayed, and God answered. That moment shaped his faith from a young age and convinced him, quote, God's word is flawless and true. He closed with the message of hope. God is not done with America yet. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that ought to be the mindset of every Christian, every conservative, every patriot. But here's the catch, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the fly in the ointment from the media standpoint. They've said that, in general, that none of our federal agents, none of our federal agents, heads, Pete Hegseth, Mike Johnson, et cetera, none of them should have the temerity to read the Bible publicly. Because, after all, it could offend somebody. One person even said, I understand that America was founded on Judeo-Christian values, but we've much broader than that now. We have more religions than that now. We have more beliefs than that in America now. And so, therefore, you can't read the Bible publicly because it will offend. Ladies and gentlemen, what are your thoughts? Should we have the prerogative of reading the Bible publicly? Should we be afraid as Christians, as conservatives, to read the Bible and a public venue? Should we come to the point, have we fallen, have we devolved to the place in America where our leaders, civil government leaders, God calls them civil government. By the way, according to Romans 13, God created civil government to protect the good and to punish the evil, the wicked. We've reversed that in America under the Obama administration, under the Sleepy Joe auto pen Biden administration. We've reversed that. The mindset is that we, the people, work for the government. The government's our boss, our authority, our head. That is not what is found in the original thought and intent of our Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, ladies and gentlemen. Now, here's the problem that the hair-on-fire Marxist media and communist Democrats are worried about. Let me just read you, and I'm going to read several excerpts from a massive article. Head the title of the article, Trump to Read from 2 Chronicles at America Reads the Bible event, marking the nation's 250th anniversary. Now, I'm going to read portions of this, but I want to hear from you. Should President Trump read the Bible publicly? Should our elected officials read the Bible? Should they be bold enough to do so? What if it offends somebody? Should we be worried about that? If that is the case, ladies and gentlemen, we need to just simply do away with our Constitution. We need to burn our founding documents. We need to erase all of our founding history. And by the way, that's what the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party would like to see us do. This article reads, President Donald Trump will read from 2 Chronicles via a video message from the Oval Office on Tuesday. By the way, that's scheduled to be 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Tuesday. Taking part in America Reads the Bible, a week-long public scripture reading initiative organized to mark the 250th anniversary of the United States independence. Trump will deliver his reading during the 6 p.m. Eastern Time hour on Tuesday, according to America Reads the Bible, the organizing body behind the initiative. The article reads, he will read from 2 Chronicles 7, verses 11 through 22, a passage that includes this verse, if my people, which you call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their land. Dr. Ben Carson, a neurosurgeon and former U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development during Trump's first administration, and his wife, Candy Carson, are scheduled to follow the president's reading. The event brings together nearly 500 leaders and representatives of 122 ministries in Washington, D.C., for a continuous public reading of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. During readings from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at the Museum of the Bible's World Stage Theater from Sunday through Saturday, an opening celebration was held Saturday. House Speaker Mike Johnson also to take part in the opening celebration and is scheduled to read from Genesis 24, which traces the generational blessing from Abraham to Isaac. Johnson said in his statement he was honored to stand alongside fellow Americans, acknowledging the moral and religious heritage of our nation. Bunny Pounds, founder and president of Christian Engaged, is behind the initiative and modeled it after the biblical account of Ezra public reading. By the way, Ezra read about 8 hours in the scripture. The people continued to stand as it was being read. Groups of leadership wandered through the crowd and said, do you understand what was being read? You understand what was said? Let me tell you, let me interpret that for you, etc., etc. And revival took place, ladies and gentlemen. And that was a public reading. And that was in the Old Testament. That was a founding document that they read, if you please, for the people to hear and to heed. That's what we're doing. That's the intent. That the Bible, the Word of God, from cover to cover, will be read publicly for people to understand. This article further reads, in a statement issued ahead of the event, Pounds, that's the one that's the originator, called the passages one to the most important scripture reading in American church. She said that the president's participation would give hope for national healing and renewal. The White House issued a presidential message recognizing the initiative on Friday, the eve of the operations celebration. The Bible's role in U.S. history from the arrival of the Mayflower through the founding period and into the present age. It cited John Winthrop's 1630 invocation of the Sermon on the Mount, the Declaration of Independence, the 1787 Northwest Ordinance. It also referenced the letter from President John Adams to Benjamin Rush, in which Adams called the Bible the most profound work of philosophy and morality ever conceived, end quote. The message further cited the inaugural oath of George Washington, who placed his hand on the Bible and kissed it after taking office. The White House noted that Abraham Lincoln quoted scripture 4 times and mentioned God 14 times in his inaugural address. The presidential message also called Franklin D. Roosevelt's radio prayer on the eve of Normandy landing in 1944 and President Ronald Reagan's 1983 proclamation, which named that year the Year of the Bible. Multiple members of the Trump administration are scheduled to participate alongside the president. They include Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, the White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins, Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, Veterans Affairs Secretary Doug Collins, Housing and Urban Development Secretary Scott Turner. America Reads the Bible marks the 250th anniversary of the U.S.'s independence. The Declaration of Independence was adopted July the 4th, 1774. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that sets the stage. That sets the precedence. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we have those, and I've read behind naysayers. Let me just give you a little summary, a few statements of what the naysayers are saying. They're saying, we can't have religion in government. Say when? Say what? We can't have religion in government? Ladies and gentlemen, our founding documents, for the most part, are birthed right out of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian values. But the naysayers saying we can't have religion in government. We must recognize the separation of church and state. One that I listened to this morning and then read behind later said, separation of church and state, you can't do that. There's a wall of separation of church and state. You can't allow religion to come into government. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you found it. I haven't. If you found that phrase in our Constitution, that phrase or the nuance of that phrase of separation of church and state, any place in our Constitution, love to have you call me, read it to me so that I can be edified, enlightened, and educated on the subject. There's no such thing as a wall of separation of church and state. Second Chronicles chapter 26, there's a separation of government and the church. King Uzziah wanted to go into the temple and offer sacrifice, and the chief priest, the head priest, the high priest, and 80 priests said, King, you can't do that. Youngblood paraphrase now changed, says, King, you can't do that. You're the head of the government. You can't go into the church and do what the priest does. The Bible says Uzziah got wroth, angry, went into the temple and offered sacrifice anyway. You know what happened? Read 2 Chronicles 26. God killed him. God killed him because he disobeyed that regulation, rule, guideline, if you please, of the separation of church and state. Listen, the church cannot be shut out from participating in any governmental affairs, anything that would be called politics, anything that would be called talking about politics, anything that would be talking about elections or who we need to vote for and how we need to vote and what the Bible says is the responsibility of the child of God. There's no such thing. It doesn't exist. But yet, according to the Bible, the government has no authority to step into the church and say, you know, COVID's coming, so you got to shut the doors. There's this taking place, so therefore you've got to bow and bend to the governmental authorities. No place in our Constitution, not one phrase or one word in our Bible that would lead to that thinking and that warped, demented feeling that somehow, some way, we've got to leave God out of the government. We've got to somehow, some way, leave God out of what we say and do as a nation. Ladies and gentlemen, supporters about this thing now with the reading of the Bible with President Trump, supporters argue that any public figure, including the president, and I stand with it, any public figure, including the president, including any elected official, has the right to openly express their faith. But yet, there's a mockery when Trump has a Bible. There's a mockery when Trump relates something to Scripture. There's a mockery when Trump is supposed to read it that somehow, some way, he doesn't have the authority to do so. His rights are protected under our Bill of Rights, just as yours and mine. He's a citizen. He has the right to do so. The Bible plays, ladies and gentlemen, a major role in U.S. history and all that we see taking place today. Many presidents, like Abraham Lincoln, have referred to the Scripture in speeches. Supporters see it as part of the long-standing tradition rather than something that is unusual. Some, ladies and gentlemen, view the biblical reading as a way to emphasize and to re-emphasize moral values. I agree with that. What do you rather have, a president that will read from the Scripture or a president that will advocate for, pay for, and push the transgenderism, the butchering of young boys and girls? You rather have a president that will push murder by way of abortion or one that's going to push ethics and morals and values by reading the Scripture? You rather have a president that's going to take a stand for the socialist, Marxist, communist, and the jihadist in America and have open borders? Or are you going to take a president that shuts the borders and takes a stand against that which is harming the nation's security? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time we stand up and the Christian voice be heard. I think it's time that we recognize what is happening and take a stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We're going to take the top of the hour news and be right back right after the news.
From First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTRJ.